Thank you, my brother. It is always a joy and honor when Brother Jim calls me and asks me to fill in for him. I always enjoy coming down to Edgewood. Brother Jim and I have known each other several years. I don't know how long that's been. But sometimes when he calls me because of our friendship and our familiarity with one another, I might call him Rabbi or something like that. How you doing? And he'd call me something else. But you have to be careful and be sure that you identify that voice before you say anything. Example, one Monday morning, I got a call from Dr. Lee Robertson. He wanted me to preach in chapel. Well, I didn't recognize him when he first talked. And there was something about Dr. Robertson. He is a common man. He could sit with the paupers or the kings, but yet there was a dignity about him that you just kindly revered or respected. And I thought he was Mel Rudder. Good morning. I said, "Hey there, good man, what's going on in your world?" "Brother Atkins, this is Lee Robertson." Woo! So I still got to speak in chapel, but that was the last time. Oh, my friend. But truly am I honored when Brother Jim calls. I tell you, you folks, and I don't travel that far anymore, but the few miles away from home, the Lord's let me travel and evangelism, I can tell you this from the bottom of my heart. You don't realize what you got. Yeah, I'm telling you, this Brother Lilly, he can teach that backwards and make it sound interesting. Amen. he's a good friend, and I love him so much. Brother Jim, I wasn't trying to hawk another meeting. Amen. Turn with me tonight to 1 John, please. And as usual, we'll go to another place to develop the message. So go to 1 John chapter number 2. And then we'll go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 for the message tonight. Let me find 2 Corinthians here. I'm talking about, for a little while that we have together, the subject, manifestation of a genuine love. Now, when I was coming up down in Alabama, I was born and raised there, we call that genuine, not genuine, but genuine. But I want to talk to you about a real, true love. What does it do through our life? Or number one, how does it get there? Well, the Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 that when we are saved, the Holy Spirit comes in to live within us. And it tells us there of the manifestation of love. The character of love will automatically, old things will pass away, all things will become new. We're baptized into Christ with one Spirit. And all of a sudden now, we have the third person of the Trinity living in us. That is a statement. Living in us. And he automatically begins to produce his fruit. The first one is what? Love. Faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is love. I wish I would have learned this earlier in my ministry. I'm sure I stymied a lot of Christian growth in a lot of people because I would try to preach things I'd heard from other people, other preachers. But I've learned it's better to hear from God than other people. You can take other people's advice, but you can take truth only from the Holy Spirit. So, what is the characteristics, or how do we know this love is really in our life and he is manifesting himself through us? I know you know this, but I want to give you the meaning of manifestation. It means to show or to reveal. And the Holy Spirit is sitting, standing, waiting on us tonight to just yield to Him, and He will do the revealing. You can act like you're saved all you want to, but it doesn't last very long. But if you'll let Him be who He is in you, and let Him give His life and ministry through you, then there's no mistaking that that's a child of God walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. So I want to talk about that tonight. Then the word genuine means not counterfeit. A lot of phonies around today. Not counterfeit or artificial, not hypocritical. I remember my dad taught me many things. He had very little formal education, but he had a lot of wisdom. And he taught us, he said, "Boys, always be who you are. Because one of these days, if you're not, you're going to forget how to act in front of that one that you've been trying to fool. Just be who you are." They're calling that today, be comfortable in your skin. And that's who I am tonight. I am who I am, and if people don't like it, they're going to miss the blessing. Amen. 1 John chapter 2. You guys are being ugly now. Let me preach. In 1 John chapter 2, you don't read very far into this little epistle that John wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And you see this love keep cropping up. And we begin our reading in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 3. And I'm just going to break in. That's not good Bible ethics, but just want to break in here and get a foundation. The Bible said, "And hereby we do know that we know Him, Jesus, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a phony, is a liar, is a hypocrite." Amen? They profess to know, and though they may say, but what are they doing, James says? He asked the question, where's your faith? You show me your works, I'll show you my faith. So he is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Who is the way and the truth? Jesus is not dwelling in that place where no people make up their own meaning and of a word that's in the Bible. This is what that means, and this is what that means. Well, I'll tell you one thing I learned in the years that the Lord has let me study the Word of God and preach the Word. It may take you a while, and it may not take very long, but if you are sincere in Bible study, not just Bible reading, now I commend Bible reading. If you just do the open windows or what it is, one verse and go to work, that beats nothing. But I'm talking about Bible study. It doesn't take very long until the Holy Spirit will begin to reveal these things to you. Why? He wrote it. He's the author. So he tells us. Now, you say, "Preacher, do you rely on commentaries?" Of course I do not rely on commentaries, but I have a whole room full. Well, I don't believe in that. That's your problem. And you know why? Because just because Warren Wiersbe is not alive anymore, where you and I would go and see it and glean, he just has books. Do you quit reading his books after he's gone to glory? Of course not. So we learn through that. But here the Bible says, if I know the truth and turn away from truth and don't practice truth, I am lying. I am a counterfeit in the eyes of the Lord. It's hard to get an amen right there because we all are guilty of sometimes using our own intellect instead of the Word of God. Now notice in verse number 5, "But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected." Wow. "Hereby know we that we are in him." So therefore it's implying that we be perfect. We can never be perfect, but we can press toward the mark. Amen? And walk and live in holiness. We can do that as we allow Him, the Holy Spirit, to walk through us. "He that saith, he abideth in him. ought him also to walk even as he walked. Now let me give you an Alabama rendition of that. If you say you're saved, act like it. That's what it said, amen. Now, but I want to tonight, that's just kind of the foundational thing. And let's go now to over to 2 Corinthians, and I want to develop the story there. And we're talking about the manifestation of genuine love. I just want to leave two major points with you tonight. First of all, if the Holy Spirit is uninhibited and is living in my life, his life, we will have this genuine love. And it will, number one, it will show feelings for others. Verses 1 through 4 of 2 Corinthians. Verses 6 through 11, genuine love will show forgiveness to others. So we see here we will have feelings for others and we will have forgiveness toward others. Amen? And I don't know if you've discovered this yet, but this is a daily thing. I mean, the Holy Spirit is a person and he is easily grieved if we grieve him. And he doesn't lose his power. He doesn't lose his position. He's still in my being. But he is there seemingly in neutral idling. He's not cooperating with my worldly life. So let's look at these things. Now, the story pattern that we have before us, if you will remember, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul was writing a letter, the first letter that he wrote, to the church at Corinth, and there was incest going on in that church. And no one was saying anything about it. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you'll find the reason, and that is one of the most carnal churches that Jesus ever established through Paul was the church at Corinth. That's not saying anything about these churches that are named Corinth. I'm not after anybody. I'm not fighting and fussing with anybody. But in Bible days, when you mention Corinth, wow, that was a rough place to hang out at. And the people were coming and hypocritically going through the motions. They would come to the Lord's table and they would sit there and eat and fellowship until they become gluttoners. And I'm telling you, they were a very carnal church. So we find here that this specific sin of incest was being addressed by the Apostle Paul. Now, as you look in verses 1 through 4 of 2 Corinthians, you will see in verse number 3, it shows us Paul had already written a letter to these people concerning their sins. And 1 Corinthians 5 describes that sin. But here the Bible said, now notice, Paul's letter was one of rebuke and instruction, and it should have been. As you read those five verses, you'll find that Paul is telling this church, I love you, and I am telling you these things in love that your life will get off of neutral and start advancing in the things of the Lord. There's times, dear friend, that we need rebuke and chastening from the Lord. I know that's not pleasant, but it's true, amen? Now you say, but preacher, I don't believe that you need to spend a whole lot of time there. Well, I don't know why not. Because the Word of God is plain, and if you're a Bible preacher, you will not move around these issues that people love and adore. You'll preach it in love, but you will preach the Word of God regardless of how people feel about it. If you don't, well, preacher, that offends me. I got a verse for you. That offends me. I don't want Brother Lily to get up. Listen closely to Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Hello. So you see, don't get offended at the carrier of good news. I'll never forget this illustration I heard. I was somewhere up north preaching when I was in evangelism, and this preacher preached before me. He gave this illustration, and I liked it, and I adopted it. And that's not mine, so I didn't steal nothing. But he said, one day, this guy got on this other guy's case. And he said, you oughtn't to do that. You oughtn't to say that. He said, wait a minute, I'm telling you the Bible. He said, no. Well, they kept on arguing there for just a little while, and finally the guy got tired of listening to the onslaught of this other fellow. And he told him, listen, do you take a newspaper at your home? He said, yes, I do. He said, do you read that newspaper when you get it in the mornings? He said, yes, I do. He said, do you ever differ with what the editor said in that paper? He said, occasionally. He said, well, my material, God writes, I'm just the paper boy that throws it. So don't get after me. I'm just throwing papers, man. I mean, you go to the editor. So could I admonish you tonight? Just go to the editor and take it up with him. If you win the battle, let me know, because you'll be the first one to win. But now always remember, we're to preach the Word of God. We're to teach the Word of God. What do you mean, Richard? I'm not a teacher of you. You're a teacher at home when you're raising that child. You're a teacher of one's self when you see through the message God has spoken. But we should always remember that we speak the truth. Very important. Wait a minute, there's a comma. We speak the truth in love. We should want you, and Dr. Lilly does. He wants a constant growth in his sheep. Why? He can't be with every sheep all the time, but the Holy Spirit can. So that's why we're so concerned about that. Now, so Paul, this was a letter of rebuke. This is going on in your city, and it's not even catching your attention? Come on here. Let's get together. They knew better. But 1 Corinthians 3, they were so carnal that all they majored, they had earned doctorate degrees in division and discord. If they could get that in the church, boy, they had it gone. I mean, they earned that doctorate. But I'm telling you, listen to me, folks. We've got to listen to the Word of God. If we're living in a day, go back to this word, what? Genuine, what was it? Counterfeit. We're living, and I'm not being ugly and calling names. I don't know who is it, but I know one thing. The Holy Spirit is not having his way in this earth today. You'd see revival in every church. If the Holy Spirit was unhindered and was not grieved, you would see revival sweep through this place like no other, or any area. But he must be the boss. No arguing. Give me your marching orders. Yes, sir. Private Atkins reporting for duty. I take my word, and here it is, and I go with it. So genuine love shows feelings of others. Let me give you something. If I can find it right quick, I can't find it, but I can't find it, so I ain't going to worry about it. But here we find that love is a feeling for others. Now, if you'll notice, it talks here about Paul being the one, of course, that the Holy Spirit has used to correct these problems. And he's saying, in essence, in this passage of Scripture 1 through 4, he's saying, I want you to receive me in love. If you read those four verses, you'll find instructions that we need. And Paul is saying, if I make you grieve by preaching and you're taking it in the wrong spirit, then I'm going to cause you to be grieved, and then you're grieved, and that's going to cause me to be grieved. Read that. It's in verses 1 through 4. That's what he's really saying. So think about that. So in your time of study this week, let me give you an assignment, not to be turned in here, but let me give you an assignment about this relationship of pastor and the flock positions. Read Hebrews 13, verse 7 and 17. And you will find there the relationship with the pastor and the people. And it's the same, the writer of Hebrews is dealing with the same thing as Paul is dealing with here in Corinth. So he says, in essence, we'll leave that point by saying this: I love you, that's why I'm doing it. Take it in the right spirit, because when you do, you and I both enjoy coming to church. Amen. Shouldn't be strife and division ever in a church. You know, I've never understood that. And it took me a while to grab a hold of what I'm saying next. But I just don't understand. Now, listen very closely. This is so, it's profound, but it's so simple. And it's simply this. All right, my wife is saved. Trust me, she's saved because she's going through the third part of the tribulation, been married to me 64 years. But she ought to stand to her feet and sing, I am blessed. I am. I don't know. All right. Trust me, she is a godly lady. She is a sweet lady, a godly lady. She has, when she got born again, the same Holy Spirit that came into her life is the same Holy Spirit that descended from heaven on that day. Now, if I'm filled with the Spirit, and she's filled with the Spirit, how can we be at odds? Hello. Now, isn't that profound? It's very simple, but isn't that profound? How can that be if we're both filled with the Spirit of God? How can I be ugly and mean? You see what I'm saying? But yet, and I'm being truthful here. I'm not the pastor, see, I can do this and run, amen. But you look around you today, non-judgmental now, we're not judgmental. Look around today, look on TV, watch your programs or whatever. Our church is at a low ebb. The universal church has all the power we need to break through and revival fall upon this land. I mean, he's got that power. Firecracker lives instead of dynamite's what we're living. Firecrackers. I'm telling you, it's sad, folks, and I'm right in this group with you. Hey, we're all in the same thing together. So genuine love shows feelings for others. Genuine love shows forgiveness toward others. This very important segment of the message. Verses 6 through 11, I'll not expound each verse, but that's where the next few minutes of preaching will come from. Now in 1 Corinthians 5, 9 through 13, we see the church had withdrawn fellowship from this fornicator, had finally done what was right. They brought it to light and put him away. Put away from among you that wicked person, is what the Bible said. But I want to show you something that's very important that is not practiced much in churches today. That is church discipline. Now this really, I have no authority other than Jim Lilly trusting me. I know he's handled this many times, but he trusts me, or he wouldn't have called me to preach in his church. So I believe in it, and I don't want to go there because of the time element, but write this down, Matthew 18, 15 through 17, and you will see the order of church discipline in the local church. Verse 15 of Matthew 18, go along and endeavor to solve the issue. That's how you do it. Number two, if he or she will not repent, take two or three spiritual-minded members. If you take someone over there worse than they are, you're just going to drag them on down on further, a little further. Amen? And just because I'm a man of the city and I have influence in this city doesn't make me a great Christian. So we need to take, the Bible said, Galatians 6:1, is it? He that is spiritual, let him restore that one that has fallen. I believe it's those that are spiritual minded. So here Paul is saying, now if you go the third time and they're rejected, the member of the church, they should withdraw fellowship, but we are to immediately to begin restoration. That's important. He said, well, no, wait, I'm spiritual. I was on the council. I went down and we decided to Joe Blow. Hope nobody's named that. But we find that he's out of whack here. He's walking in sin. He's practicing sin. It's been known in Trenton, on Dade County. We got to handle this thing. And brother, trust me, your pastor would. So we go and we go through these things and we go to him the last time and say, well, brother, we love you in Jesus. We're going to work with you, and we're not going to talk about you. We're not going to run you down in the community. We're going to lift you up because I know within you, I remember the day you taught the Sunday school classes. I remember the day you sang special. I know you have him in you, but you've been overtaken in a fault, and we've got to deal with it. The very moment that you pronounce that to that man, you should begin restoration. Putting him back where he belongs in the church. Amen. Could I get a witness? Amen. I believe that with all of my heart. Now, notice with me in 2 Corinthians. The Bible said in verse number 8, I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him. But let's go back to verse 7. No, verse 6, I'm sorry. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment. The churching, the process they've been going through, sufficient. In other words, this man's had enough. He's proven that he's repented. He's proven by his actions that he's back you in fellowship. So sufficient, he's had enough, which was inflicted of many. So that contrariwise, that simply means instead of, you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. If we do not forgive people who make mistakes, we push them further down in their testimony, in their daily life. So here Paul is saying, I beseech you, verse 8, that ye would confirm your love to him. Now those two words were not put there for none other reason but to train us. Here it is. We should forgive. The word forgive implies inward. The word confirm means to what? To comfort. It means outward. So we should forgive in our heart, but outwardly they should know that we've forgiven them. Don't just say it, show it. Well, but preacher, he's got a bad testimony. That's before grace got a hold of him. That's before he came back into sweet fellowship in the church. Now it's my job to go along and pull him out of the ditch, dust him off, and say, hey, let's go together. We can do this thing. Amen? But you know what happens in most churches that I've been affiliated with? They want to say in here, God bless you, Brother Joe. I mean, boy, God, you did a good hallelujah. But out on the porch, I don't think he really made it. What is that, preacher? Hippopotamus hypocrite. Big mistake. But yet, we'll just put our little fancy clothes on and keep on running this guy down to one another. And we're wondering, I'm not implying here, but then we wonder why the Holy Spirit's not visiting us when we meet. There are no little sins and big sins in God's eyes. Amen? So, if we have, or we do have, if we will allow the Holy Spirit to be in our life and let him have, just turn it over to him, amen? Just turn your life over to him in entirety. The first thing you will notice is that love It's bubbling up. It's just coming up in your life. And you look at that girl or that man that you've known, and they're out of the will of God, that you used to say, I don't know if he's ever going to make it or not. Instead, you're going to start saying, Dear Lord, you're going to start praying for this guy and say, Dear Lord, please send me, send something in his life today that will happen to show him your love. And me and my wife, we meet in the mornings and have our devotions together, and we have a prayer list. And I'm not saying this ugly, but we spend so much time on ourselves, we very rarely don't get to our prayer list too often, as we should. You know why? Because it's easier to talk about somebody else than it is to talk to God. That's old me there, not amen. Because when you talk to God, He wants us to come boldly before the throne of God. He invites that. And he said, you can come with confidence. If you're living for the Lord, you can walk through the holiest and come to the throne. I'll hear you. But sometimes prayer is laborious. You labor, don't you, in prayer. Sometimes you find yourself in the middle of your prayer for this person. You slip into that fleshly way of thinking sometimes and say, Lord, is he ever going to get right? Be not weary in well doing. I like the black rendition of that. Be not weary in well digging. You'll strike water after a while. Amen. Just keep on. Keep on praying. And one of these glorious days, you're going to see him walk through that door. Hallelujah. That'd make a mannequin shout, wouldn't it? Think about it with me now, and we're going to close. Genuine love shows feelings for others. Genuine love shows forgiveness toward others. One illustration, and I close. I doubt maybe some of you may remember this. I don't know if many. Brother Jay may. He and I are about the same age. I forget how many years ago, but the story is vivid in my mind very plainly. Down at Rising Fund Methodist Church, they send in church guys, pastors. They sent a guy, and I forget it. I think I wrote his name down. No, I did not. All I know, his last name was Henry. Pastor Henry. And every week he would take a trip down to Atmore, Alabama, to where a person was incarcerated that he would witness to. You got to pick up on this story because the man, listen to this, for years, for 3 or 4 years, every week, not month, every week, he would drive to Atmore, Alabama, and go see a man that murdered his father. And the man came to Christ. That's love. This man murdered my dad. But oh God, forgive him. I love him. So now he's in heaven because Pastor Henry had feelings and forgiveness in his heart. Let's stand with our heads bowed.